Broadcast. Assemble. Street Court is in session. This is your motorcycle and Jew, Ben. The whole crew is here. Super blogger Vince.
That's me.
Bearded Brett. And unbearded Brendan.
I'll suck your dick.
And he will. If you happen to see him, he will. That's for sure. Vince has his own version of Burnsy's Corner. Not called Burnsy's Corner. It's called...
What's up with the internet?
Because I ask that to myself all the time.
Hey, what's up with the internet?
I could see that being on The Soup.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe on
Top. That's what I'm gunning for.
Yeah, you could be Joe McHale's backup. We're going to get Matt Ufford on the blower. Yeah. We're going to bloop him in. And they're going to talk about Moneyball, maybe. And Vince, what else? Oh, and Brendan brought his Bible. Brendan, what's your Bible called?
It's called The History of Farting.
Yeah.
By Dr. Benjamin Bart. Rhymes with fart. I came across this on the internet, and I immediately sent my girlfriend a copy, which she received at her office, which is great because she then posted a picture of it on Twitter with the caption, "Some girls get flowers, and I get this." but I liked it so much, I bought it for myself.
It's like a butt flower.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I told her.
Is that baby, it's
like a butt flower.
Do you read that? Do you pray on the side of your bed and read that before you go to sleep every night?
Yeah, definitely.
So what sort of psalm?
If John Lennon was still alive, I'd be killing him and reading this instead of Catcher in the Rye.
Do you remember there was a story, I forget what, I think it was in Europe somewhere, like a few years ago, this guy got locked out of his own house and he tried to go in through the cat door and he got stuck. And so like some people like pulled his pants down and stuck a flower in his butt. And they wrote like some note about how this is performance art, like leave a donation or some shit. And so like the guy was stuck in there for like a day or two.
I thought you were going to go with the Japanese guy who got the eel stuck in his butt, who like ate his colon and he died of internal bleeding.
Oh, that was the most hilarious death.
He put an eel into his own butt for...
No, they were all drinking, and I guess instead of chiefing in Japan, they stick eels in your butt, which actually kind of makes sense. It sounds about right.
Was it like a moray eel? Because those fuckers are gnarly looking.
Yeah.
Electric, Brett.
Eels in your butt.
Yeah, no, not electric. In your butt.
Yeah.
They don't taste good unless they're electric. Electric butt eels.
Yeah, you have to put them in the butt to ferment them.
A little tempura.
Exactly. Speaking of drinking, what do you guys... I'm back to the whiskey tonight. I got a little Bullet Rye. I decided to go... I discovered Bullet Rye, and I used to drink Irish whiskey, but I think Bullet has... Rye has supplanted the Irish whiskey
Bullet
for me.
Bullet is excellent.
I stole one of Vince's Aloha series from Longboard, the Cocoa Brown.
I did not like that at all.
Really?
I went to Hawaii and had it. I like their...
it's a brown ale with
Longboard.
Coconut.
It's Kona Brewing coming from Hawaii.
I like it.
I am guilty of loving everything Hawaiian. Hawaiian coffee, Hawaiian beer.
I wasn't into their beers at all.
Oh, well, that is your problem, sir.
Don't see the Descendants.
Is it about beers?
It's about brewing beer in Hawaii.
It is. God, you're so wise.
Go back to the mainland, Howley.
You know is that why you're on a movie podcast? You just know everything about movies?
What am television? I'm drinking tumor pills, bitch.
Cool. Cool story.
I can't remember whether or not I like the Pilsner Kel or the tumor pills even while I'm drinking them.
They all taste vaguely piss-like and then kind of good still.
These ones had dust on them, so I was a little worried because they go skunky real fast.
There's 0% chance if I swap the labels you'd know the difference.
Yeah, almost none.
So I had a dilemma for you guys today. I was going into the screening today at the mall, and there was like...
For what movie, Vince?
I can't tell. I'm still
embargoed. You're embargoed? Oh.
It was, even say what it is?
It was Chronicle, so if you guys want to see that, we could talk about it next week.
When are you embargoed?
Is that the one with the aliens?
Friday.
No, it's not aliens. It's superheroes. With superpowers.
Yeah.
Did you see the viral marketing campaign that they did in New York?
Like the people flying over the city or something.
It was actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's easily accessible on the YouTubes and various internets. There's some viral marketing group that did the thing for Limitless, which I had never heard of before, but they faked a thing where they hacked into the Times Square screen. Anyway, they got some remote control people-looking things and flew them over the Hudson. And it looked cool.
Remote control planes that look like in the shape of people.
Where can I get a remote control person and then fuck it?
Well, it didn't have any fuck holes.
Fleshlight.com?
Yeah. Oh, you could add a fleshlight.
I want to steer it while I'm fucking it. Try and make it escape, but it can't because it's just a robot and I win.
Control B! Damn you!
You can fail again, robot. Damn
control B is for blowjob.
Yes.
You could just slowly...
Is that the joke? Sorry.
It's all right. You can make it more... make it, you know, make it bigger. It's more, it's broad, more broad the way you do it. Well, I'm just going to make it, leave it the subtle, kind of Louis-esque.
Control Z.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look forward to your review when you're unembargoed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Embargo, bro. So anyway, I saw this like group of kids running out, like they'd obviously stolen something. And then I don't know what the situation was. I just saw like some sales lady and she had her hand over her chest like, oh, my God, I'm so traumatized. Yeah, exactly.
Something happened here.
I feel victimized. Yeah, so.
Was she wearing all of her clothes?
She was.
Okay, good.
And that's like the second time that that's happened in like maybe a month or less. And both times I didn't really know what to do. I'm not really like a Law and Order type. Like if it's just if they're just stealing from something from the mall, I'd be like, hey man, more power to you.
I don't feel like getting involved in this riffraff.
Yeah, good luck with. I thought they probably stole something from the mall, so I was like, hey, you know, go for it. But then like maybe 3 weeks ago,
enjoy that Rosetta Stone French pack,
that hand lotion,
those fake sunglasses.
He stole my sample bag. Yeah, maybe 3 weeks ago, I was walking by a Starbucks also down by Market Street, and there was another dude that was sprinting. Like I just saw him run out of the Starbucks.
Don't tell me he stole the half and half.
No. It took me like 3 seconds to realize that he'd stolen something. I was like, oh, there's a guy running. And then maybe like a split second later, I was like, oh, he definitely stole something. And like, I guess he just went in there and jacked some chick's purse and then ran out.
That's a bummer.
And see, like, I feel like you should tackle the guy if he stole something from a private citizen. Like if it's just the mall, like hey, whatever. But
yeah,
I felt bad when I realized it was just some.
Yeah, but the mall,
purse.
There's really no true victim. I mean, certainly you don't want stores to get stuff stolen. But when it's just a private citizen, like
I do, fuck them,
fuck them. I hate malls. But having your stuff stolen really sucks.
Yes.
Like, have you ever even lost a wallet or even just lost a phone, let alone have it taken from you forcefully? That's a bummer.
It's when they steal stuff that is of no value to them that fucks your whole day up.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're gonna fucking just burn your hard drive down and sell your shitty 3-year-old MacBook for $45. And I'm like, oh, all of my shit is on there.
No, when I was in college, I had one of those huge CD wall. Remember the big like four or no, maybe it's like nine CD. It's either 8 or 9
well,
CDs.
It's like four on a page, and they're double-sided,
right?
Yeah,
four on a page Case Logic cases of all my CDs. Like, every CD I'd bought since I was in, like, 6th or 7th grade, and that was a lot of CDs. That was, like, my entire childhood, basically. And I was a lonely child who did nothing but, like, listen to...
Broadcast listeners out there, so there were these things called compact discs.
Yeah.
And they were actually kind of valuable. You needed to them to listen to things.
It was just like... I didn't know what to replace because, I mean, that was, like, so many CDs. I'm like, what are you going to do? You're not going to sell my, like, shitty ska CDs from 1996.
I totally lucked out because that happened to me in high school. These guys broke into my car and stole my stereo, and then they stole my CDs, and, like, I was so mad, but then, I realized that then I went – this is, like, in the middle of the night – and we filed the police report and everything. The cops came, and I was so mad. And then I was driving down my street to go to school the next morning, and I saw my CD case on the side of the road. It was like it was right down the street, and so I pull over and I pick it up. And it was so funny because like it was these two hoodlums. Like my dad saw them. It was like these two hoods from San Rafael, and like they. you know how like you remember where all your CDs were? They were in like a certain order.
Even if it's a totally weird order.
Yeah, even if it's not alphabetical or by genre or anything, you've looked at it so many times, you know exactly where all those CDs are. So I'm like, oh my God, it's like all my CDs. It was like Christmas morning. I'm like, holy shit, they're all here. And I flip through them and there's like two missing. And the two missing were like West Side Connection and a Too Short CD. And then, like, they left all the Pantera, all the Slayer, all the Misfits, all the...
Metallica?
Metallica, all the, let's see, NoFX, you know, like all
that's
that.
That's so weird.
Shit.
I would have thought that crackheads would love NoFX.
No. No, it was just...
It was before
like,
their time.
No, it was like two teenage hoodlums.
Oh.
So they were like, you know, it was like these these Latino kids. So they were like,
I was going to say,
oh,
wiggers,
what is
wiggers,
this shit?
But
no, they were like these Latino kids. Like, my dad got like a really
I never heard of these shit.
Yeah, what is this shit, man? Like, I don't know. Just take the West Side Connection CD, and then like threw it out the window.
What does Nofsk say?
Yeah, it was awesome. I got all my CDs back, and I, you know, I think I just
that's better than a amazing. That's an amazing present, right there.
I worked. Yeah, it was great. I worked at Tower Records, so I just bought back the CDs. I bought back that West Side Connection for like $8 with my employee discount.
Well, screw you, buddy. I was traumatized.
Sorry
for life.
Well, that's how it goes down in Fresno sometimes.
Sorry, Vince.
Wait. That was it? You just didn't know what to do?
Yeah, I don't know if should I just like should we just knock people down just in case
it was start going pretty fast. You gotta just doesn't matter what they're doing. You're going too fast, sir. Boom, tackled. Yeah. What's in your pockets, Speedy?
It does take a very quick. You got to quickly decide if you're going to do anything because otherwise you're not going to chase them down.
I would have had to make the decision quickly, but I had full opportunity to like knock them down in both cases.
Plus, if it's a bum, you get like bum on you.
No, these were in both cases. It was like younger kids.
Oh.
Yeah. It might be nice to shoulder check him next time.
Or if you had a stick, just catch him in the throat with it, you know? You want the advantage when they hit the ground. You just catch him in the throat
with
your stick.
Vince is routinely carrying some sort of stick around.
I have one of those expandable batons.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I was like tree limb. I just go to work with a tree limb.
Well, you know why. Everyone knows why. To put a squirrel on it. When you don't have a squirrel. Hey, Squirrely.
I try to get them to come on my branch, and you know, when the closer they get, the more detailed of a drawing I can do. People seem to like that,
and it's just like that's the way they attract the squirrel. You hold the branch out.
Yeah, sure.
Did you it's a similar situation? Did you see the video that someone sent of us of some sort of Asian street law where there was a guy on a motorcycle?
Oh, I never got to watch that.
I would highly recommend it because, first of all, they did put Kung Fu Fighting as the soundtrack, which is very apropos. And so there's a guy...
And racist.
And no, it was true. Oh. And there's a guy on a motorcycle going around a corner. He takes a woman's purse, and then it goes out of view. It's from a security cam. And then the next thing you see is just people with plastic crates over their head chasing him back. And then there's 20 people surrounding him, just hitting him with various objects.
It was kind of really well shot because he leaves the frame. You get a beat where nothing's happening. And then he comes like right back in the frame from where he started and crashes into the side of a van.
Who said it to Kung Fu Fighting? That is screaming for Benny Hill Yakety Sax.
Yeah. Well, then they would have had to speed it up.
Pretty much everything.
And then they had a bunch of cheap IKEA furniture that they kept throwing on them that exploded. And
well, I always
all
like,
their Allen wrenches are just going.
I always like the milk crates. That's always a good thing to hit people with. Yeah.
Or a shoe.
Speaking of things people sent us, this one seems like it might be up Brendan's. Might be up Brendan's alley. It's a
dirty.
It's actually going to be up all our alleys. It is
Brendan. Put this in your
all
alley.
At once?
Yeah, put it up your alley. I'll put it in
all,
your alley.
All four of our alleys at once.
Put it in my alley.
Oh fuck!
It's a German guy.
Yes.
Trying to explain what a party pooper is.
Excellent.
So it's got funny accents and poop. So pretty much everything.
What is a party pooper?
What is das?
I work some hours in an office, you know, and to groups of people, they're talking, and one say about Jennifer, eine Kollege, Kollegin, she, colleague.
Eine Kollegin.
Oh, I tell you, Jennifer, she is really a party pooper. Really? Jennifer poops at parties? So, she poops at parties, so and people know this. I poop at parties. I poop at parties, but people don't know because I close the door. Jennifer goes to the party and then poops, but she do it so people know. Where do she go for it? Does she visit a water closet and make door of the open so people may see and smell things? This sound horrible. Maybe she go like by the tables with the gift and the present and the punches bowl.
The punches bowl.
Poop on the carpets. This sound like Jennifer, you have some mental issue. Have you spoken to someone about it? This serious, you make a poop in the party. so people may know. I want to go to parties with Jennifer just to make observation. She poops at parties.
I have so many questions
that
about
another,
this.
Fairly famous video. Am I wrong?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it. If so,
sounds very, very familiar. He was something else. He was ranting about. Was he in his car right there?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something else.
Why is he on World Star Hip Hop?
I don't know.
That's where all the kids go, Brendan. You're out of touch, bro.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he has another video that is equally funny, but I don't remember what the topic is that he's ranting about. If you search similar on YouTube or something, I would guess you'll find.
I don't feel like doing
World Star Hip Hop.
His other work. We need Bernsey to do that for us.
What if I don't feel like doing that, bro?
Then don't do it, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna do it.
All right. Then.
Guess what? What's up now?
I have no response.
Should we get Matt Ufford on the phone?
Yeah, let's do that.
Get him blooped in?
Yeah.
Bloop him up.
So tell me about these movies.
The movies? I go to the movies and they are pooping there.
Pooping?
So I go to the movies for free.
And people's...
I'm calling them.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Ooh, you have come through crystal clear. That's nice.
Yeah, try. I do that.
Yeah.
How you doing? Man.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I also attribute it to my sexy new MacBook Air.
Oh, booyah. Fancy ass. Did you get that from your new job? Is that what you're trying to rub it in my face?
Yeah. Oh. I got that. Showed up in the first day. They're like, you need a new computer? I said, okay. And then I showed up on the first day. I had a MacBook Air. I was like, this is okay.
Whatever, man.
You're not part of the Uproxx family anymore. Oh, yeah, you are. You're still with KSK.
Yeah, still kind of.
You probably got invited to Sundance, too, right? All expenses paid.
Nah, I wish.
I wish you said yes.
That would have been sweet. Rubbing in Vince's face again.
I know.
But you did get passes for what, Matt?
Fucking Westminster Dog Show.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That is pretty good.
When's that? When does that happen?
Westminster Dog Show, February 13th and 14th, and then that weekend I'm headed to Philadelphia for the USA Curling Nationals.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Where's the dog show?
Dog show's a block away from our studio. It's Madison Square Garden.
Is it there every year?
Every year.
Oh, I was unaware.
Yep, it's gonna be. I'm so stoked. It's not even funny. I went to a press conference last week. I was sick as a dog. I had like this.
Whoa,
like,
sick as what?
Yeah.
That's why he's a comedy internet writer.
I wouldn't have been able to come up with that.
No, yeah. But anyway, since every blogger has his day, I horsed it up. Wait, that's the wrong animal.
Bloop him out.
Hang up on this man.
This is not Larry the Cable Guy's podcast.
Too soon, Ben.
Is that where we're headed?
No, he died.
Larry the Cable Guy.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no! I just went and saw the introduction of the new breeds last week, and it was even there were like six dogs that were the new breeds, plus last year's champion Hickory, a Scottish Wolfhound, and like seven dogs. And I was like, oh, this is great! I can't even imagine what it's going to be like when I go in 2 weeks.
New breed? Is it like a Vietnamese snake dog and shit, or like what do they have?
It's X dogs, like X Men. They're mutants.
Actually, there is a dog that begins with X. It's the Xolo, like, five-syllable thing. It used to be called the Mexican hairless dog.
Ex-coatl Zion's Terrier?
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's the breeds that are newly recognized by the American Kennel Club.
Oh.
People take this shit real serious, don't they?
Yeah, I can't wait to see just how frightened I'm going to be.
My favorite is when they run them in the circle. And the handler people just have the dogs choked, basically, and they just have the most serious run going on.
Fun fact, in my dreams, the three dogs waiting on the hill for me to die in my kitchen are Scottish Wolfhounds.
All three?
All three.
Related or unrelated?
I assume they're related because of the shared red glowing eyes.
Okay, wait, what's a... Like, I know what an... The Irish wolfhound's, like, really big and huge. Skinny, and then they kind of, like, have the beardy face. What's the Scottish wolfhound look like?
Or maybe there's a Scottish deerhound. I don't know. It's Scottish something like that. But they're very similar to the Irish wolfhound. They're, Oh, sorry, babe. I'm talking
about... Quite all right. It's quite all right. Continue.
Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
She said, "See you in Mexico."
What did I ever do without my sound effects board? I don't know.
You were much more sad.
It was a dark time.
Let's see. Anyway, I don't know. Fucking Google it, man. That's way easier than me trying to describe this dog.
Fair enough. We'll get deep into the world of Matt Ufford in a few seconds. We got a few more clips from my new segment. What's up with the internet?
Hey, Matt, what's up with the internet?
I don't know. Why don't you guys tell me?
That's he knows. It's like he's heard us do this before, right? here's Steven Soderbergh getting attacked by a TMZ cameraman who might be Funny Bot from South Park. See if you can catch this one.
What's up with the internet?
Hey, look, it's Steven Soderbergh, big time director of.
They have Mansers. Yeah, exactly. It's just as bad as Mansers.
Sprung.
I'm great.
Hey, look, it's Steven Soderbergh, big time director of that movie Haywire that opened last week. Wonder how the movie's doing.
So, how's Haywire doing?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Awkward!
You knew the answer to that.
You know, all of them can't be great successes.
Backstroke! Backstroke!
Oh my god, he's so honest!
He was very honest.
Can I just, like, right now, out of the box...
I feel like this is like Mansers for gay men.
Yeah, definitely.
I hate everything that's happening right now.
And so I couldn't see Vince's screen. Did they go back to the TMZ headquarters Yes. where that one guy's always talking?
I tell you, I just like Steven Soderbergh. He was just so natural when our asshole photographer was jamming a camera in his face and asking questions.
Gay Mansers would be Mansers, M-A-N-S-I-R-S.
With a comma?
Write it down.
With a comma?
No, come on. That was good. That was gold.
I just wanted to use my boost.
I know.
These people are lampreys.
What?
I booed on top of the Boo soundtrack, so like I can be Vince's sounding board there.
Mansers. That was good. You guys will laugh at that later.
Good night and Mansers.
Seriously, the fact that this is a profession that is viable to make a living off of makes me sick to my fucking
shoving
stomach.
Shoving a camera right up someone's butt?
No, like leeching off of people who have some small amount of fame and just being like, hey, you're at the airport.
Well, that's always the worst.
Can I catch a plane?
That's always the worst. They're... like just getting home from somewhere, and it's like there's four cameras right inside their butthole. Like, hey, bro, what's up? What's going on?
And your daughter just died of cancer. How do you feel?
They probably lost their bags. They're like, fuck.
You know that Val Kilmer's a real dick. I don't know why he's always mean to everybody. It's the weirdest thing.
He just got a chip on his shoulder. I would light them all on fire.
That'd be awesome. You carry some lighter fluid with
you? Just in case I get famous, I am going to start carrying lighter fluid.
Speaking of the decline of civilization, Matt probably has heard of this because he used to be a TV blogger, and now they didn't let him play the Fear Factor clip where they drank the donkey semen and the donkey urine.
What?
So disappointing.
Which is funny. America, sorry, go ahead.
All America wants to see is women drink donkey semen.
But this
on.
Was on Fear Factor?
Yeah.
It was. Oh, man, did you see the picture? It is like
it was
mason
a
jar full of donkey semen.
Yeah, it was like at least 12 ounces.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you had to drink a little shooter of pee afterwards.
What?
That's the chaser?
You didn't listen to the interview?
The insane,
it was on some
the
radio
the
show.
Insane thing is like the network is like, oh, yeah, you're right. We shouldn't broadcast that. It's like, well, you made those chicks drink it, and now they're not even going to get to be on TV, which is the only reason they did it in the first place.
The best is they have the donkeys like there. Like while they're doing the and the chick was saying that the camera guys were throwing.
Oh, here I have the clip.
All right.
How bad? Yeah, we talked about it last week, and we were trying to decide how much money it would take for us to do that. And I'm looking at it right now. I would imagine that even if I psyched myself out to think pina colada, the smell is probably putrid.
Oh, and the worst part, it was sitting out all day.
Oh! Hot donkey semen.
I can't really say, but like drinking both the substances, they were boiling as going down. So you can imagine the smell is like even worse sitting outside.
I can almost just have an idea of what it's going to smell like, let alone taste like.
Well, see, the problem is if you don't keep your donkey semen in like a brown bottle, it'll go skunky just like a Pilsner. Mm-hmm. And then you got skunky hot donkey semen.
Which, is that from some sort of morning zoo?
Yeah, it's
you had a very morning zoo voice.
Are we listening to another podcast?
It's the Cowhead Show in Tampa, Florida.
Oh.
So pretty much the zooiest of morning zoos, it sounds like.
Not to be confused with the Man Cow or the Cow Man or Cowhead 2000.
Or Moose, Cow, and Dingo from Poughkeepsie.
I love Cowhead 2000.
He's the vegan, right? He's the vegan from Outkast.
I thought it was a dubstep / hardcore band.
I say it was the hardest 15 minutes of my life.
Oh, so you didn't have to just chug it in one slug. It goes like you can milk it. Slow. I guess that's not the right word. You can slow sip it.
Yeah. Well, what happened was you got 15 minutes, and if you
sounds
vomited,
like a donkey semen drinker,
you would have to start over.
Oh,
if you vomited, you would have to start over.
Oh.
What I ended up doing was just vomited in my glass and just drank that.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Hey.
So,
you know what I like? I like how there was that chick with the two vaginas and she got the porn offer and she's like, no, I'd never do porn. And I'm sure these chicks are the same way. It's like, oh, no, I would never do porn. But, oh, chug donkey semen and then vomit it out and then drink the vomit? Yeah, sure, why not?
You think they pay him like $20,000? For the whole stint.
I think if you win Fear Factor, you get $50,000.
That's worse than SWAT.avi. Oh, what do you get as a consolation prize? Just a gut full of semen?
And urine.
Second prize is you've got a donkey baby in your stomach.
Well, you don't have to get lunch, I guess.
Second prize is just the damning, judgmental glance of the donkey.
It's like, all right, you've both conquered your fear of chugging donkey semen. Now the winner is the one who has to call her dad and play him the footage from this.
Third place is in the donkey show that evening.
Well, I mean, you've really done worse than been in a donkey show at that point.
I mean, we're splitting hairs here.
That's why I like the Lovelace biopic. I'm sure like there's two, you know, Hollywoodized versions of the Linda Lovelace story. I highly doubt they're gonna touch on the movie she did called Dogfucker.
Did that happen?
Yes, it happened.
The lady who made the computer.
What?
The lady who made the computer.
What does that mean?
Like Turing's wife?
No.
What?
Lovelace? She made a computer. No.
Go back to Radiolab, bro. I don't know what this is.
Yeah, that was probably the hardest.
Hold on.
Go back to Radiolab, bro. We're talking about donkey jizz.
So you drank half a glass.
The cameramen were vomiting. So.
Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, I don't puke easy. And when I saw the glass, I just looked at it for a second and I felt like puking. All right, so yeah. Walk me through this. When you bring it to your mouth, do you smell? Is the smell horrendous or does it smell like nothing?
Oh, it smells. It's so bitter. It's
yeah.
The bitterest thing you can ever imagine, and it has, you know, a little hint of hay.
Okay. Just answer it. Okay, I'm assuming you've had human semen before, correct? I mean, you're an adult girl.
Plead the fifth.
Yeah, the reason why I want to ask you is just for the comparison.
Yeah.
Can we stop for a second?
Yeah, it's done.
Wait.
Like, she doesn't want to admit that she's had a guy's cum in her mouth? Is that where you're going?
Reflect on us. Tell us what it was like to drink donkey semen on camera. Now, have you ever had human semen? Oh, I plead the fifth. I'm a lady.
All right. More specific. Have you ever taken a guy's jizz, put it into some sort of mason jar, set it outside in the sun, let it get hot, and then drink it? Yes or no?
For a chance at half a year's salary.
And then did you chase it with his pee?
How does a man's penis compare to the elephant that butt fucked you? A lady never tells.
I would have just asked, did you consider not doing that? Because that is terrible.
Yeah.
Especially if they all said no, what's Fear Factor producers going
to
do?
I would pay movie prices to watch all of them vomit, right? Just the camera guys.
You don't have
can't
to pay
control
movie.
It.
You could just watch it on regular TV.
Well, no, you can't because they didn't fucking show it.
Yeah. I like how we draw arbitrary lines about what Fear Factor can and can't do.
Well,
what do you
mean?
Well, they'll blur out a chick's butt crack. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you want to chug some donkey juice? Yeah.
Well,
bottoms
sounded
up,
like
fatty.
It wasn't quite chugging. It was more like sipping.
Well, she tried to chug and she puked and then she had to
drink the puke.
Oh, I want them to combine stuff, right? Like, I want you to have to drink donkey jizz carried to you by cave spiders and then eat the cave spiders.
While skydiving.
Yeah, and some dude's peeing on you.
He's below you peeing.
Are you afraid yet? Is this not your fear?
This is your greatest fear. I did just watch Batman Begins, which was, of course, all about conquer your fear.
I like that.
I had to become the donkey semen.
I like that because the bad guy in Batman Begins, it was basically like a guy who gets you high and then fucks with you. And that was like his entire character, and I love that about
him. And then bringing down the biggest civilizations.
It's like I feed you a bunch of mushrooms, and then I'm just like, yeah, you know what happens to veal? We Kobe beef, we just massage him, and then we don't let him move, and then we just cut off his head and take out his meat. And,
you can talk to insects now.
But seriously, that guy was crazy scary.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Guys, I'm somewhat concerned we may have traveled back in time.
That was like,
that's a famous mushroom line.
Yeah, that was.
Guys, I'm somewhat concerned.
Well, because
the
lighting was different, right? It was. We went out to a park, and the light was all fluorescent, and we were worried about dinosaurs. But then someone found a baseball bat and picked it up, and the vibes just went like south. We were like, "You need to throw that off a hill. Things have gone wrong here. The universe is out of alignment. Put that away."
I just remember walking back to the house, and Brett points at the street, and he like clutches me. He's like, "Oh my god, what the fuck is that?" And I was like, "Chill out, dude. It's just a stick."
No, that was one. That was Justin, and he did it both going from the house and coming back to the house. Same fucking stick in the middle of the street. Oh my god, is that a snake? No, dude, it's the same stick.
That's right.
We've done this before,
but we did get caught. Some people had one of those pebble. Not like actual pebble driveways. It's one of those. It's like pebbles mixed with polyurethane or something. So it's got like a.
Got a little bit of a. Paint
it's the, they're
gloss.
Not loose pebbles.
They're
right?
not loose pebbles. Yeah, it's like a sort of formica-ish type driveway thing, and that was really fascinating when you're on mushrooms. And so I think at some point someone opened the door to like three guys like caressing
the driveway. Down in their driveway, petting it. Just, what is this made out of? How can this happen?
Can I help you guys?
What is this made out of?
No, we're good.
It'd be a good sketch where it's just like three guys on mushrooms and then the other guy's like a contractor. He's like, well, you know, we take some polyurethane and we mix it up and, you know, we flatten it out into 2 inches. What? yeah, it's great. We got a big factory and who works on the... Where do they get the rocks from?
How does it get from the factory to here?
I just remember I was outside.
In trucks?
I was outside moving clouds around because I was at the bottom of a really big tide pool. And Vince comes out and he's...
At the bottom of a really big tide pool.
He's got his shirt over his head, you know, so he's like it's just like a shirt vest. And he's wearing a hat over the shirt vest, right? Like the shirt's over his head, and then he's got a hat on, and he's got like a poster tube, like a large cardboard tube, and he's poking me with it. He's like, hey, we got to go inside now. There's a lava lamp.
I think it's fun to watch. It'd make Heelhauser better if you just imagine he was on mushrooms the whole time. Where do you? How do you guys make these tortillas?
That's amazing.
In a press.
I was in Amsterdam, and I just remember looking up, and all the buildings looked two-dimensional, and I thought that we were in like that scene from Blazing Saddles where the town's fake with like the, you know, and so. But I was like onto it, and I was like trying to play it all cool with my buddy. I'm like, hey man, they didn't tell us, but
we're in L.A. now. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, dude, it's fake. Look, those houses are flat. And then, like, there's, like spotlights. I'm like, look at those spotlights. It's like a premiere. We're like, dude, we're, like, three blocks from Man's Chinese Theater right now. I'm like, just keep it cool. You know, and then finally, like, I couldn't stay cool anymore because I was, like, it was, like, just freaking me out. And I just remember, like, they're like, get in the car, because I was, like, yelling at some bum. And then I was, like, trying to climb out of the car window. And then finally I was like, this whole city's fucking crazy. Yeah, that was fun.
I got another last clip from What's Up with the Internet. It's this lady. She only eats cheesy potatoes.
Oh, yeah, from TLC.
Oh, yeah.
This show is really
good. What other channel could it be?
So good.
I just love the idea that it's like TLC, the learning channel, and it's completely a sideshow freak.
Yeah, but a compassionate freak show.
Sort of.
They care. They care about the
little
people.
Is this My Strange Addiction? Because that is
sound, I think so.
Half of them are so amazing, and half of them are kind of dumb. But the ones that are amazing are so. I've seen this one.
This is Freaky Eaters.
Freaky Eaters, yeah.
My wife Kelly is a freaky eater.
34-year-old Kelly eats nothing but cheesy potatoes morning, noon, and night.
I love cheesy potatoes. It's ooey, gooey, and just yum, yum, yummy.
Each and every day, Kelly eats a minimum of 8 potatoes and 4 cups of cheese.
This may shock you, but she's really fat.
What?
I was about to ask. I mean, like, that seems like a really good diet to have. I can't see the video, but I would just assume that she's really slim. That's strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called the Modern American Diet. A lot of people are actually on it.
She's basically like the Irish before the potato famine. She eats 8 potatoes a day.
Amounting to a whopping 8,000 calories and 176 grams of fat a day.
When I eat cheesy potatoes, I mean, it instantly puts a smile on my face.
Over the course of a year, Kelly consumes about 3,000 pounds of potatoes, 23 times more than the average American, and close to...
I like the unnecessary math. It's like, would it matter if it was 6 times more or 23 times more or 54? I'm kind of lost at that point.
I always enjoy, so usually...
I feel like 23 times more isn't even, like, that big of a number. Like, she's eating 8,000 calories a day strictly on potatoes and cheese, and it's only 23 times more than the average American.
I know, it seems low, doesn't it?
French fries, yeah. Dog. French fries.
Yeah, there's...
Maybe you underestimate the average cheesy potato consumption in this country.
usually on these shows,
us coastal elitists,
they try to save these people from killing themselves before they turn 40. And so what they'll do is usually get a big vat and show how much they've eaten in a year. And it's just the biggest mountain of cheese you have ever seen. It's like, or in a month, maybe even cut it down to a month. And it's just this mountain of cheese.
Dude, I don't even save my own whiskey bottles because somebody showed me that's like, here's the 12 gallons of whiskey you drank in the last 2 months.
Have you guys ever had fondue? Yeah.
Yes.
That shit is gross, man. There's like 4 pounds of cheese in that fucking thing.
It's good for like the first 10 bites. And you're like, really? I'm just expected to eat more bread and cheese?
I don't think I want this anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like crack to me. I gotta have it.
As a child, Kelly ate other food.
At the end, they make her eat a vegetable.
I don't really eat in front of other
people. I've been married 7 years.
I don't really eat in front of other people. I don't really want people to know how much I'm consuming.
She's just like, she's at a drive-thru while it's clearly her lunch break, just chowing cheesy potatoes in her car.
Me and Kelly, we've been...
I don't want other people to know how much I eat, as if they can't tell by looking at it.
Right.
They don't want them to know it's my fault. They thought it was glandular.
Married 7 years.
You're cooking me. I'm out of here. When Patrick's cooking, I'm usually in the living room watching TV because I don't even like being in the kitchen.
Kelly can't stand to smell or even touch most foods, especially vegetables.
Well, I want you to try this. Shocking. This is a green vegetable. Every time I've tried to cook her a little something extra, she just refuses.
She's actually crying right now.
I love the just utter refusal to eat anything but their crazy addiction. They said they were married for 7 years. Was the wedding just a trough of cheesy potatoes?
I don't understand how you'd marry that person.
Well, she's married to Paul Blart.
Here she is. She's crying, and her hand is like shaking so bad she can barely stab the piece of broccoli.
Just try a little taste.
She smelled it and retched.
I can't.
Well, to be fair.
I mean, she is crazy as a loon. Well, like, this is a serious mental problem.
I think broccoli has a reputation.
Well, a hilarious mental problem.
Yeah, well, I'm not arguing its hilarity, but
you should probably start with something besides broccoli. Maybe go with like some corn with a dab of butter on it.
Yeah, cooked carrot.
Oh, I'm not a big fan of cooked carrot.
No,
but no.
What about a parsnip?
Yam? Oh, yeah. No. Parsnip is a good step. That's a tuber. But I feel like it's
a gateway carrot.
I feel like broccoli already has a bad reputation as like, oh, that's gross. Like, try feeding broccoli to a kid. They're going to freak out.
Oh, but they're just going to have such awesome farts afterwards, though.
Yeah.
I get excited for broccoli at dinner. I'm going to fart at work on my way out.
There's no way that you thought that when you were a kid.
What?
Mommy, is this going to make me fart a lot?
Really?
Yeah.
What is he, Brendan?
Yeah, who are you?
Then I would go, yes.
Brendan's parents could have fed him oatmeal soap.
Yep. Maybe they did.
I'm just kind of like in a state of like continual flatulence as an adult that I don't even take into account like what makes me fart more or less. Like I'm just farting all the time now.
Yeah, I have that same thing. So you said you had some food poisoning perhaps today, didn't you?
Here's the thing, like the studio where we work is in like far west midtown Manhattan. There's nowhere to eat that's like good except for this one place. Like we work on a two-story building on the second floor, and right below us is this really amazing Mediterranean deli with like this eager to please chef who does really like great food every single day. But with the really great food, that, like the different plates that he makes every day, he's like, I'll give you some spice. And it's like this like crazy, like super condensed wasabi, like green spice. And I want to eat some of it every day because it's so delicious. But it's like it's so powerful that it's like it's so hot. It's like way hotter than wasabi. And so like with every meal that I get there, like every time I've had like a couple bites here and there, I'm like, oh, now my stomach's a little bit upset. And then today it just like I had it with like the tuna steak, and it just kicked things into like overdrive. And like from like 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock tonight, it was for like an 8 hour period. And it was just kind of like a constant state of thinking that I might shart. You know, like every single time, like I basically just went to the toilet like every 20 minutes just because I wasn't sure if the fart that was coming was going to be liquid shit in my pants.
That's not so bad. I sharted twice this past month.
Well, yeah, see, I'm trying to keep that number to zero as much as possible.
Well, I mean,
what's your yearly average, Vince? Are you at like 12?
Vince has a minimum. Vince has a minimum shart count.
You work from home, so it's not the hugest deal to have, like, you know, liquid shit. The studio that we work in has one unisex bathroom, and I have, like, female coworkers now.
Look at Prince Fancy Guy. I can't shit his pants at work.
Vince, it does instantly make me think,
Wouldn't want my pantaloons to be sullied.
Who do you think you are, bro?
When you live by yourself in the Bickle Cave? And you shit your pants and then had to go instantly into the shower?
I can blog from the shower. I don't even care.
Oh, I got one of those waterproof keyboards?
Yeah.
I blog in the shower often.
I still tell people, like, I have... So most days, you know, like, I'll shower and then I'll get out and then I'll be confused and I'll put the same pajamas that I just had on back on and then go to bed. And then, you know, on the rare occasion that I do put on a collared shirt, like, with buttons, there's, like, I have, like, the angel of bad hygiene on my shoulder where he's, like, hey, where are you going, faggot? You're gonna go have tea with the queen and that? Who do you think you are? And then I just pretty much put my pajamas back on and cry.
And that's called Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm entered this world where I'm like, it's been 2 days. People will figure out if you don't shower.
Yeah, like the one day. Well, not the one day, but you know, I got into a bad habit of going out to get my coffee without. like usually I put on a hat or like a beanie or something at least because, I mean, people that don't have clown hair probably don't have this problem, but like if I don't put product in my hair or comb it somehow, it's pretty much straight mad scientist like all the time.
Kind of like right now?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so the one day, of course, that I don't do anything, I don't put a hat on or anything, I go to my coffee shop and I'm just sitting there and fucking Sam Rockwell shows up and sits outside and I'm like, oh, I got to get a picture with Sam Rockwell.
Was he sitting at the coffee shop or you just walked by?
No, he said it's like he came there 2 days while I was there. Like I guess I don't know if that's like his local coffee shop.
Does he live in San Francisco?
He's from Daly City, and so when I talked to him, he said he was just in town, like visiting.
Did you say that
visiting
you're a
friends?
Film blogger?
Yeah. Well, he asked. He's like, "What do you do here?" And I was like, oh, "I write about movies." I called you. I called you homeless. Isn't that ironic under the current circumstances?
I just drink a lot of coffee and make Photoshop.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he came by later. He was just like sidled up and he's like, hey, you've seen that Tyrannosaur? Pretty good movie.
Oh, I love him so much.
He's pretty awesome. I pretty much wanted to marry him.
Did you give him a huge hug and not let go?
No.
Don't let go, Sam.
I'm not normally like this.
Don't let go, Sam Rockwell.
Please don't let go.
I'm not like a starstruck person, but I definitely got like high school girl nervous because it was Sam Rockwell. Like there's probably maybe like five people that I'd get, like if it was like John C. Reilly or Sam Rockwell or like Paul Rudd or something, I'd be like, oh my god.
So you hugged him and never let, is that why he's in your?
Well, I demanded to take a picture. I mean, 90% of the time if I see someone famous, that I don't want to be that guy that wants to take a picture because I don't like to talk to strangers, let alone famous ones. So
famous stranger, this is not a stranger, you know who he was.
That's true. I feel like that's most people's attitude,
but
right?
But it doubles how strange Vince is being.
Yeah, exactly.
Vince took his shirt off and then he took his pants off.
Ultimate stranger.
And he was wearing a pea coat and a scarf.
Uh-oh.
And one of those like little red Where's Waldo beanies.
Did you at least resist?
Like, those are all things that I've made fun of in the past week.
Did you at least resist the urge to tell him to go back to Scarf Town?
I did. I managed.
Good. Yeah. Nice work, buddy. Yeah. You are growing up.
You know what? I only tell people to go back to Scarf Town if they're in a bar that's over 80 degrees wearing a scarf. When they're outside, sitting, you know, eating outside at a coffee shop, that seems like a reasonable place to wear a scarf.
Appropriate.
Yeah.
But in a bar, that's when you need to go back to Scarf Town.
It's weird, yeah.
Also, Scarf Town's not so bad.
It's a good place.
I like my pea coat.
Shut up.
I have one. I like it.
So Matt, tell people that don't know what you're doing now? Explain where did you go? Why did you leave Warming Glow to that dude from Pajiba?
I've kind of disappeared off the daily internet actions now, and I'm working for SBNation.com, and our YouTube channel is launching on March 1st, in about a month, and I'm going to be doing videos for them. So that's why we have like really stupid, talented editors and producers who are helping us make like original sports content and stuff like that. And the people actually at my job refer to me as, I'm not even kidding, the talent, and they're not kidding. And I have a hard time taking them seriously.
I think that's like the name for any time you're on camera. That's you know, I got a little of that at the Grid, and it was very, very awkward. It's like, I just flew in for the day, and yeah, I'm going to read like, words badly off of teleprompter now.
Please don't call me the talent.
So what do I do with my hands again?
Yeah, basically.
That's all I remember, you coming back and being like, I didn't know what to do with my hands.
Because my default is jacking off furiously.
Do I put them behind my head? Both of them behind my head? Or
I don't know if I would have been better like if I had been doing stand up, like, you know, like now I feel like I'd be better at it, but I don't know how much better because it's always awkward to be reading a teleprompter and not having anything in your hands.
Yeah, it's not like you'd be holding a microphone.
Yeah, like with stand up, it's like at least I can hold the mic with one hand and gesture with the other. It feels sort of natural.
You hold the mic and you pace.
Yeah,
in the Grid, you couldn't pace nor hold a microphone.
And I'm reading. Yeah,
trying to read.
Yeah.
So and then the World Curling Championships are coming up. I mean, sorry, the U.S. Curling Championships.
USA, yeah.
USA is not so good at the curling.
That's It's yeah, we're not so good at it. I actually, when I mentioned it on Twitter, I had Canadians talking shit to me. They're like, USA sucks, Canadian curling's where it's at. I was like, all right, hey, you know, like, way to be awesome at ice shuffleboard.
It actually is too bad.
I call it ice bocce because I'm Italian, but, you know.
I went and tried it. It's actually pretty fun.
I love anything like shuffleboard, bocce. It's a dramatic, it's very dramatic game for what it is.
It's really cool because you slide a pretty decent distance on the ice. And I'm not talking about the sweeping part because that's sort of not that fun. But the throwing of the rock is really fun.
Do you, can you still hold a beer like you can with shuffleboard and bocce?
I'm going to be doing it on, I'm going to be giving it a try. I'm going to be talking to the curlers and the, even better, the curling fans who travel to Philadelphia to check it out.
The groupies.
And, like, I can't wait. Like, I'm really excited for that. And then after that, in March, I'm lined up. I'm basically, my beat is called Alt Sports. I'm just covering all the, like, the weird, crazy niche shit going on.
So you're
going
to make fun of the Quidditch World Cup at some point?
That is on my schedule, yes.
Are you just going to have to, like, cover your punch and fist the whole time you're there?
Basically, I mean... I'm going to be a journalist.
Yeah. Tell me you get to go to the World's Strongest Man?
Straight face. I hope so. I don't know if I'll be able to go to World's Strongest Man.
That would be kick ass.
I've got USA Memory Championships coming up in March too.
These are my teammates, Keely, yeah. Kaylee, Colin, Claire, Blair, Taylor, Tyler, Cody.
The what championships?
I was just talking about Quidditch, the Quidditch team. Oh, Quidditch. We're all really big Harry Potter fans. This is Betsy and Katie and Lindsay and Brittany.
We're in Snagglepuss.
That's going to be a huge
Huggle Wuggle.
It's Muggle Quidditch because we're not wizards.
It's you play, don't you?
I do. I'm a professional.
If I walked out to Golden Park and saw you playing Quidditch, that might be the best day of my life.
Why isn't competitive donkey semen drinking an actual thing? Because I don't really want to watch Fear Factor when they're
can't
doing
can't get it
stuff.
On TV.
Yeah.
Well, do you still watch TV though, right?
Absolutely. Before we got on the internet Skypeage here, I just finished watching Justified and. Was catching the season premiere of Tosh.
People are all bonerific about the Justified. I haven't seen an episode. Is that something worth DVRing?
Awesome.
Or I guess Netflixing in my case.
I thought it was all right. I don't know. That type of show isn't my cup of tea, though, I have to admit.
I kind of liked one of the seasons of Sons of Anarchy. Is that up my alley?
If you liked – here's the thing. Season 2 of Sons of Anarchy was
yeah,
the
that was
pinnacle
good one.
Of that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Season 2 of Justified was at least as good or better than Season 2 of Sons of Anarchy. Season 1 of Justified is like the show's kind of feeling its way out. It starts as kind of a crime procedural where it's like a case a week sort of thing. But then like the second half of the season, they're like, we want to kind of make this like an overarching like narrative arc. And that's when it kind of became awesome. So like Season 1 was kind of like a pleasant surprise. Season 2 got awesome in a hurry, and Season 3 hasn't missed a beat so far. Like, it's just really fucking fantastic television. If you've liked The Shield, if you've liked Sons of Anarchy, I would honestly say, like Justified is just, like it's not too far off from the level of, like, Breaking Bad and Mad Men in terms of quality television.
I like Oliphant, but the thing that when I Justified was like, he's just going to be super cool and not give a shit ever. And I was like, I like it.
Matt, are you caught up in the sweet, sweet perfume of continuity? Because sometimes people do that and not realize they're fucking smelling shit for a couple seasons. Like, I was still into Lost, like, beginning of the last season where I should have tuned out a fucking whole season ago. Because I'm like, I'm invested. These are my friends now. Are you fairly sure you're not doing that?
I feel like I've got a pretty good barometer for that, just because I don't have a whole lot of time to watch TV, and I don't dedicate my time to TV if it's not going like when the fall season started and I'm a TV blogger. Like, there are things that either get their hooks in me fast or like, that's it. Like, and if it's a show, for example, Sons of Anarchy is a great example. Season two was one of my favorites, was one of my favorite seasons of television I've ever seen. Season three was a real struggle. And then season four, I didn't even watch half of season four. I was just like, nah, this hasn't got me. So if a show is not performing to what it's capable of and what I expect of the writers and characters, et cetera, I'll check out.
I thought season four of Sons of Anarchy recovered, but yeah, and even like the beginning of season three was okay, but like the second half of season three was just awful. And if you pick up season four, it's actually pretty good. I didn't mind it. I thought it was a good return to form.
I thought that the end of it was inexcusably lazy. For the final episode.
Yeah, No, that was not that was not the right way to end that season.
I have,
but the thing is, the bottom line here is, if you like, Vince said something about like Timothy Oliphant always going to be cool. Yes, to an extent.
Timothy Oliphant be cool.
Any character exists in between certain parameters, and then within those parameters, the show will take you to. You know, he'll experience emotions that you didn't expect that he might have, or he's going to experience lows that you didn't possibly see him having. I guess it's not just straight up season one, like he's a cool guy who always solves the problem. He's a guy with a job who sometimes fucks up and doesn't have all the answers all the time. So,
yeah,
you know, like it's not easy to dismiss. And if you're not watching it just because of, you know, supposed limitations on Oliphant's character, you're missing out.
All right, here's me getting on my hipster horse, but I think the thing that bugs me
about... It's a fixie.
Yeah, it's a fixie. It's a fixie. It's only got one leg. It only goes one speed. The thing that does bug me, not that I watch other countries' TV, but the thing that bugs me about American TV is that we're so slow to give up a format, even when the format has become like obvious and like especially with comedy shows. I'm kind of sick of the fake documentary style. Like, you still see Modern Family win a billion awards. Everybody loves Parks and Rec. I kind of sort of like Parks and Rec, but I'm sick of the fake. We've had like six shows with the fake documentary format at this point. I feel like it needs to go away. Like, we don't really need that fake gimmick. And all the popular comedy shows all have like a gimmick that's from three shows ago. Like, if you look at the awards, like the SAG awards, that, you know, Modern Family basically wins every award, and they never look at anything like It's Always Sunny or like Workaholics or any of the
Workaholics. Oh, I love awesome. Some Workaholics.
Any of the comedy shows that I consider like good that are
okay. We're going back on the same thing of complaining about the shows that we actually like winning awards, and
yeah,
I watched this, Big Bang Theory the other day, and that show wins
you?
Awards,
how
and
dare
that
you?
Blew my mind.
Yeah, but
that show is unbelievably bad. Like, that looks like a Mexican sitcom.
You're yelling at your grandpa, and you're like, "Grandpa, why can't you play football with me anymore?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "I'm afraid of technology."
You're yelling at our friend Steve, who watches all those shows. Like, people
who is
like,
basically our grandpa.
Yeah, basically. So you're mad at the whole system of the awards.
Grandpa has a drinking
this
problem.
Hold on. Can I? I'm gonna.
Yeah, no.
I'm
jump
gonna,
in.
I've known Vince for a very long time, and I've read Film Drunk since its inception. And,
you got me the job, actually. So give yourself more credit than that.
And this is
you only had to fillet him twice.
Something that Vince does, you get caught up in a technical hitch, and it prevents you from enjoying a product that's very good. For example, Parks and Recreation.
I don't enjoy it.
The Parks and Recreation is a better show than The Office ever was. It has improved upon that, and it's not even about the fact that they're film. Like, it's not about the fact that there's going to be a fucking documentary ever. And that's just the construct of the show.
I know, that's what I don't like about it.
They're not filming a documentary. That's just the construct of how the show is made.
I know.
Like,
but 30 Rock doesn't need that crutch.
Enjoy the show and laugh.
But it's like a crutch. I don't know. I mean, I don't dislike – that's like the least of my criticisms, to be honest. And I don't dislike the show, but – I don't know. I just feel like one show uses a format and then another show jumps on it, and it's like, all right.
So here's let me break this down for you. You're complaining because shows that are catering to audiences that are entirely dependent on formula to relate to things formulaic.
And let's
that's what your beef is here. Like, oh my God, I can't believe that Law and Order is basically the same episode over and over again across four series across, what, like two decades now?
No, I get that. Like, you know, all shows are going to be formulaic to a certain extent. But,
no, not all shows. You're in an entire different genre of shows than like Workaholics.
No, I'm complaining about the one, like, the critical darling shows that people think are the cool ones are formulaic.
But look at the critics. The critics are idiots. Who cares about – no one
– All right, so we need to have a sit-down with you. Because these award shows,
I just want you guys to see Big Bang Theory and then like reconcile that with that.
Why would you watch that? Why would you put that in your eyes?
It was on after the UFC fight, and I was like sort of taking a shower and getting dressed to go out, and I was like on still because you know the DVR had run out at that point. And it's hilarious. It's like a Mexican sitcom. Vince, it's like a show that's supposedly about nerds, and they're all like super shampooed and just look like they came out of like a Mervyn's display window. Like he's got like a lime green collared shirt.
Do you know what the number one show in America was for years? 2.5 Men.
I know, but yeah.
Vince likes Parks and Rec.
Can I interject here for a second? So first of all, we've got. There are so many different shows, and we're picking apart what America loves, what critics loves, what we personally like, and there's not anything in common. There's Modern Family, which is that single camera style that Vince doesn't like.
Because it's a fake documentary.
It's winning awards. And that same single camera style that's the mockumentary is also Parks and Recreation, which is critically adored, doesn't do great in the ratings. And also on the mockumentary front, Community did a single episode where they did the mockumentary style with Abed filming it, and Dan Harmon and the writing staff commented how much easier it was to do that style. So I will say, Vince, yes, you have a point with the crush there. And then there's your typical, you know, three camera comedies like 2.5 Men and The Big Bang Theory, which are complete utter shite, but which speak to the masses and even sometimes get awards. I can't apologize for those. But the thing is, you've also got
the new greatest show on TV, Real World Road Rules: Battle of the Exes. So good.
But you've also got stuff that speaks to us, like FX's The League and Comedy Central's Workaholics, that are more traditional.
Workaholics is so good.
And that's getting neither critical acclaim nor huge audiences, but we love it because they're great.
And it doesn't have a gimmick.
It doesn't have anything to do with how it's shot. It has something to do with, like, quality jokes and characters
Agreed.
But why are you trying to convert people? You're like the annoying fucking religious guy.
Yeah.
Like let them eat the garbage. Yeah, You don't want to take garbage away from Raccoon. We've learned that. All right. That is a fact.
You know what they're going to do, Brett?
They will take your golf club
with the little raccoon hands and throw it aside. Cast it aside.
Let them eat their garbage.
Look, all I'm saying is Parks and Rec is fine, but if you think that's better than 30 Rock, you're fucking high.
30 Rock hasn't been good this season.
Parks and Recreation is hands down better than 30 Rock.
No way, I'm not even close. I love Amy Poehler. I don't like seeing her play like a straight-laced chick. Like, she's so much more fun when she's not – when she like gets a chance to like break out of that
It's not even about Amy Poehler. It's about everybody else.
Yeah, it's about Aubrey Plaza, who fucking sucks and just says bitchy things all day, and everybody thinks it's hilarious because she's such a dumb bitch.
This keeps Vince up at night.
He's getting all worked up.
The brilliance of Parks and Recreation is that it's built around characters who are all positive. The only negative
all
character
fake and don't have any relation to what anyone in a fucking Indiana Parks Department would ever
look
like.
He's gonna shart any minute now, Matt. You pissed him off. You're up in here poking at nerves, and you're gonna make him poop his pants.
And is there an actual former Red Sox pitcher who runs a bar in Boston? So because like Cheers isn't real, that's a bad show now.
Well, it didn't have some cunt who just said cunty things all day at the end of the bar.
You've never had a job that had like a cunty person?
I have, but it didn't ask me to like love that person because she's so hilarious.
So you don't like one character, and therefore the show is bad.
To be fair, I dislike one character on on every single show, even the ones that I like. There's always at least like one character. I'm like, this character adds nothing to the show. I hate this person.
Wait, so are you mad?
It'd be like a toss up whether I hate Judah Friedlander on 30 Rock or Aubrey Plaza on Parks and Rec more.
Judah Friedlander is the worst and unfunniest person on the entire planet. He is way worse than Aubrey Plaza. She at least is an attractive person.
Perhaps. She doesn't have as much of a gimmick as he does. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Brendan, what's up, dog?
I don't watch any of these shows, so I was just kind of fucking around.
I know. I was trying not to get mad because I knew everybody else would tune out at that point.
This is how I felt while everybody was talking about mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't watch any of those shows. Nor will I ever.
I saw, Matt saw some older movies that we can talk about. Because I saw three movies in the last, like, 2 days. I saw two movies today.
Holy
shit. I'm not allowed to talk about them yet,
Could you say what they're called, what the title is?
I saw Tim and Eric, and I saw Chronicle. All right, short answer is I liked them both.
Oh.
Which made me feel good, because, like, the last, like, 10 movies I saw, I absolutely despised.
It turns out most movies aren't that good.
Yeah, surprising, right?
You just figured that out, huh?
Yeah, I liked both of those, though.
Wow, that's a good day. That's a lot of movies.
Yeah. It's funny, the Tim and Eric thing, though. Like, you know, when I posted that trailer for the FP the other day, I feel like it's a lot of the same reaction to Tim and Eric, where there's certain things.
When does it come out,
by the way? Think it's it's already out on demand, and I think it's out in theaters like in a week.
March.
But... like there's certain types of comedy where it's just absurd, and like the whole point is that it's pointless, and like for some reason, like the fact that it's so beautifully pointless is hilarious to me. Whereas other people, they just see the pointless and they fucking hate it, like with a passion. Like people that don't like Tim and Eric want them to die.
Doesn't even make sense.
I don't want Tim and Eric to die, but like I don't get like it doesn't resonate with me at all. Like, I'm like, yeah, that's weird, but, like, I'm not like, that's not funny.
I mean,
obviously haven't seen Make My Bub Bubs Bounce.
Gonna bounce now.
There are definitely sketches of theirs where that are painful for me to watch. I think it's similar with Portlandia, where it's like, there's the sketches that are good, but the ones that aren't are fucking horrendous. But I thought even the movie was mostly, like, they're better sketches.
Well, Tim and Eric don't always do long form super well. I thought the Crimbus special was incredibly hard to watch. I'd tune back
in it's terrible.
And find a funny thing, but for the most part, they're better really short form.
Yeah.
Like a guy trying to
the movie was almost all short
open a door with a samurai sword. Yeah. You can't get this round.
The movie was very, very much short form. The way I would describe it is it's like improv, but it's basically when Joe King told me about when he was in improv class like a couple of times. I feel like Tim and Eric is very much like Joe King doing improv because it's very like it's riffing and they're just, you know, they're continually riffing, but it's not improv like, oh, my cousin is also gay. And you're like, yes, and. But Joe King's version of yes, and would be like, yes, and we're in space now. And it's like the perfect, you know, like that's exactly what Tim and Eric is. It's like, yes, and now you're actually filming outside of a dog's ass, and now the kids are pooping on each other. Like it's all joking improv, basically.
I like to Frotcast quotes Twitter today with Joe's quote of, "It used to be my greatest fear that someone would find out I fucked the couch, and now I want everyone to know."
I think the actual quote was, "And now I'm telling everyone."
Oh, now I'm telling everyone. Yeah.
not just stomping you, but I wanted to get it accurate.
Oh, Joe. just lubing up his couch cushions with Lubriderm.
He was. What was his thing about?
If he only had a flashlight.
Yeah.
What was the thing about collectible pocket pussies?
Cummers with a Z.
Yeah, Cummers with a Z.
I think he just sent that to you. I don't think that was it.
No, that was a tweet. It was a tweet, and they're called Cummers with a Z, which I would ask him to come on just to explain that idea in a little more detail. But
you don't want to ask him to come on anything.
Well, I would like to invite him to. They're called Cummers with a Z, and they're collectible mini pocket pussies. That's a funny idea.
Indeed. But Matt, you saw Moneyball this week, yes?
Not this week, but like within the last 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, I caught up. I caught up on movies that were like in their last run and on the shittiest theaters in New York City over the last month.
Yeah, just pretend it was this week, bro.
All right. Yes, it was totally. It was yesterday, in fact.
All right. And you disagree with me about the scene where Billy Bean's daughter, she sings him a pretty song.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing. I don't begrudge you your opinion at all. I think you didn't like the scene. That's respectable. I mean, like, I don't really like little girls either, especially I don't like them playing guitar and singing. You know, that's cool. I don't need that in my baseball movie.
There you go.
However, you got to realize, though, I feel like your dislike of the movie is inherently tied to what you wanted the movie to be under Steven Soderbergh's guidance. And as soon as Soderbergh left and then it got Aaron Sorkinified, you can't accept the movie that it became. And the movie it became a pretty decent movie. Like I really enjoyed it. And the stupid little song that she sings in the middle serves as the entire emotional resolution for the entire film, because the reason he stays with the Oakland A's is because he wants to stay close to his daughter, whatever. And so that song is reprised as Billy Bean's driving in the final scene, and that's how the movie ends. And what blows my mind is that you don't you hate that scene so much, and you're like, it doesn't serve any purpose. Well, it serves a purpose. Like, that scene has a purpose. In the Aaron Sorkin script,
it has a purpose, but he basically stole that scene from five other movies. It's like a fake justification where you're like, oh, he needs a reason to stay in Oakland, so we took this scene from some other shitty drama and we just sort of crowbarred it in.
That's a fake justification. I mean,
do you think Billy Bean's daughter really sang him a gay ass song in the middle of a fucking Guitar Center? I guarantee goddamn to you that did not happen.
Do you have a better reason for why Billy Bean chose to stay in Oakland rather than take $12.5 million more dollars to live in Boston?
He loves his daughter. That's why he stayed in Oakland. But so the way that we're going to communicate love for his daughter is she's going to sing him a stupid song
on screen in a movie. How do you do that dramatically?
You do it some way that hasn't been done 20,000 times before.
You're Aaron Sorkin. All you know how to do is write people fucking walking and talking. All
right. Well, I'm just saying that doesn't make it good.
And writing on clipboards.
Knives out. Knives out.
Clipboards. Sorkin. They're always walking and talking with clipboards.
I think these guys should wrestle.
I'm just saying, you're so aggressive in your hatred for what that movie became because you wanted to see the movie that Soderbergh was going to make.
Well, I just get bored with conventional pieces of crap, and everybody seems to love super conventional things.
Conventional piece of crap, though. It's a movie about statistics and baseball, and they managed to make it interesting.
Yeah, they shoved it into this conventional the play by numbers biopic sort of.
Was this Every Night when you two lived together?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I am. When we were,
professional isn't necessarily
across the
bad.
Couch.
Every single sports movie is conventional. I will say, I've watched my Aaron Sorkin movies and The Social Network. I was like, oh, Aaron Sorkin, please lay off a little bit. And I liked Moneyball better than The Social Network because Aaron Sorkin only had a partial credit, partial writing credit. And it didn't feel as like heavy-handed and obvious that we're trying to like generate drama from things that aren't dramatic. Like, I thought Moneyball was a great deal better than The Social Network.
I don't know. I thought Social Network gave itself credit for being that conventional thing, because it's like, well, it's all in his memory, so maybe he remembers things like a shitty Aaron Sorkin script.
They had like the fakest ass, like, hey, we have to hire a new programmer. And so, like, the trial for the new programmer is, like, they're doing shots and writing code while everybody's, like, cheering them on. No. That is the stupidest,
most fake scene
I've seen in Hollywood in two decades.
No, I agree, but again, I feel like the fact that it was in the memory excused some of the bullshit of it.
To be fair, I haven't seen that scene play out, right? Nerds get excited about shots. And it's not to the level that, you know, we're thinking, but I mean, they're talking about one or two shots. They're an excitable folk. I mean, some of them drink pretty hard, but they're an excitable folk.
I find as we're talking about things that might happen, I find Billy Bean's daughter playing him a song more believable than nerds fucking doing shots and writing code while a crowd of hot chicks at Harvard cheer them on.
Hot chicks might be a bit of a stretch. But the other parts, I think, are viable.
And Brett may have some experience in this area. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. Instead of hot chicks, replace them with squirrels, and you're good. Go.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I think I agree with I don't know who I agree with. I hate you both. But I thought he did a good job making the initial where he's putting together the hot or not thing in Social Network. I thought he did a good job of making programming seem kind of interesting without fucking putting malware in your bones. Right,
he did
like
do
programming. Programming isn't interesting to anyone who isn't actually doing it at that very moment.
He
right?
did do equations on the window, though.
That's mandatory.
He did do equations.
That's mandatory. That's hard to read.
That's called making a movie in 2012.
Yeah, that's a beautiful mind.
It's because you can film through it and you can still see their faces.
Yeah, exactly.
That never happens in real life.
My favorite is that you trailed off at the end. Like,
we all know why they do it.
It's because you can...
But, I mean, he wasn't being inaccurate. He didn't fake it, and he still made it sort of interesting.
Look, the difference between those two things is I feel like the Moneyball story was sort of interesting to begin with, whereas I feel like the actual story of Facebook is probably so goddamn boring that I give him some credit for making it halfway entertaining.
Well, Zuckerberg is not, like, the most gregarious, like, outgoing, funny guy, but I thought he had the best quote where he's like, if they wanted to make a movie it was really like, we'd be a bunch of nerds sitting around coding. And I was like, that's probably correct.
That's fair. I'll give you that.
I hate the fucking Winklevi twins in real life.
They did
absolutely fucking nothing, and they got $60 million out of it, and they're still trying to get more money out of it.
The devil incarnate right there.
It really is.
They're the most evil people.
With their fucking spandex rowing shirts and their hard little Harvard nipples. Just want to hit them with an oar.
It's just like, we thought of a similar thing that we wanted him to do.
We thought of a website that we didn't really know what it was, and we got this nerd to make it for us, and he made this other thing, and it made $1 billion, and why don't we get a piece of that?
We gave him, like, some idea, and I think it's the idea that started the idea. And we couldn't do it ourselves. We told him about it.
Oh, I had this idea, and he was like, no, bro, that's stupid. And he made this other thing. But really, would he have made that other thing without my stupid idea?
Us
excluding him really inspired him to do better.
Yeah.
just the lawsuits in this country are so inspiring.
I can't contain my rage with intellectual property. I'm just it just makes me so angry.
Because even Facebook was just the same thing as MySpace, but better. Is
ideas
like,
don't
hey,
count for shit.
How about we don't let everybody just, you know, code their own page, and how about we just like make it very specific?
At least just try to keep some of the spam out.
Yeah.
You know, let's not have it all your friends be, or attempted friends be fake
can't,
spam.
Can't even count how many times MySpace.
Oh, he's
Firefox for me in like the year like 2005 or whatever.
Crashed Firefox, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, that's because all of your friend requests are either viruses or fake porn porn websites.
Or people's pages were so blinged out they took like 2 years to load.
Yeah, they never loaded.
And everybody, like, you could tell how ghetto someone was by their MySpace handle. It'd be like, yo, Pimp Shady $_
People went nuts with the tildes. Yeah. They would have, there was also
tilde R.I.P. Little Snoozy.
Yeah,
And then like every other letter was lowercase and capitalized.
Be honest. Yeah. What was yours?
Oh, it was R.I.P. Little Snoozy $54.69 dollar bill.
Smoke them blunts.
Dollar bill. Holla 69.
I'm not a player. I just crush a lot. Mine was dollar.
Mine was all skeet, 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 but the S's were dollar signs.
Yeah, they were.
Burnsy used to be amazing at creating fake dollar, fake MySpace names for people.
LOL, skeet, dollar sign, holler back, girl, dollar sign, skeet.
I love the idea of the cyber ghetto, too, where it's just like, oh, yeah, nobody goes there anymore.
Right.
That's the social network.
Oh, just entirely run by robots.
I know. And it's just this whole recreation of like the whole white flight phenomenon of the 70s, but it's happening online.
Yeah, totally.
Just spam bots, just spamming each other's blogs. I am hot nurse 47. I agree with this statement.
Yo, ain't nobody got MySpace pages anymore except for liquor store and gun store. It's like liquor store, gun store, all with the MySpace pages.
I don't understand. I am MySpace. You, what are you?
Ooh, friend request from Stuxnet. Except, oh, my centrifuges.
I am not a unicorn. I am a real man. You beat me to it. You always got to put in the unicorn.
Yes.
I am not unicorn. Why am I unicorn? Not robot, am I?
Would you like to have a body?
Wow. Brendan does a good fake robot. Yeah.
Indian robot
you're
lady.
You're definitely the impersonator of the broadcast.
True. Yeah. I can say I'll suck your dick in a million languages.
Well, so what would the bot say?
Do you suck my dick?
Pretty good.
All right, last topic. Because
they would never make a statement. It would have to be a question.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's always questions, right?
Yeah, you answer questions with questions, and you throw the other person off. The Ferris Bueller commercial. Did you guys see that one?
I did.
No, I didn't bother.
Haven't we had enough of Vince Rage for the night?
Yeah, it's true. All right,
Vince and I have just agreed so much tonight. I just want to say that you and I are on the same page on this one.
Well, so here, I already know Vince's rage. Vince's rage is everyone else just masturbatory love for the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it either. Here's my thing. You know, if it's obvious why Honda wants to make a commercial that references Ferris Bueller in some way, that's fine. I get it. But, like, I don't think my generation has to be like, dude, did you guys see the new Honda commercial where they totally referenced that thing we knew in order to sell us a minivan? It's like, all right, really? Do you have to cheerlead?
Well, that's...
High five for remembering, bro!
I know. It's like...
Yeah!
I got a fucking email where they're like, look for these Easter eggs in our commercial. And it's like, the Easter eggs were all references to Ferris Bueller. It's like, you already made a two-minute commercial that references Ferris Bueller. I'm really going to, like, publicize, oh, let's look for the hidden references to Ferris Bueller in this giant Ferris Bueller reference.
Did you see the Seinfeld NSX commercial?
I have not watched it, but I know of it.
Yeah. You'll probably dislike it the same. And that NSX, by the way, is not even coming out for maybe 2 years.
Yeah.
I do enjoy that your self-loathing, like the idea of self, has now encompassed the entire internet. So you're just uncontrollably angry at the thing you do, live in, sleep in, smell like.
I am hating.
See, anyone who emails in to say they hate Brett, this is why we have Brett on. He makes the most amazing observations. He'll just drop them on you like that.
Continue.
It's all tied into self-loathing. I love it.
Yeah. It's wrapped up, and it's wrapped with a little bow.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's got to cheerlead all the worst things.
I agree with you for the record.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not that
you agree with him for the record scratch.
It's not that I hate everything about it. It's just that like every single site has like the same. It's like there's some guiding principle that we're all expected to go along with.
It's too bad.
Really, I'm just expected to be super excited about like Star Wars or fucking Ferris
or Batman.
Like, God damn, I get it already. Like you like fucking Ferris Bueller and Star Wars. We all do. Like you really need to trumpet that. Fuck.
And it's too bad.
Here's the problem with the Ferris Bueller commercial is that it's not clever.
No, like, it's not. Yeah, it's not at all.
It managed to roll out 2.5 minutes of, oh, hey, we have to film in L.A. and not Chicago, which is what made the movie. So how can we make like things in LA similar to Chicago and have references to the movie? And it's a bunch of like less interesting nods to the movie that was really cool without any clever, like there was nothing clever about it. Like there was no new twists. There was nothing about it that was like, oh, that was new. That was a funny twist. Like it was basically The Hangover Part 2 of commercials. And by the way, let's point out that Vince liked Hangover Part 2.
Okay. I'm going to just use a different analogy, which is like, it was like one of those shit blank says videos, which was basically it's observation without commentary.
You do realize it's an advertisement, by the way?
Yeah.
Can I?
So you know
that's
what,
fine.
You know where the goal is.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know where the goal is?
No, the advertisement part, I get it. Like, I don't get why people who aren't in advertising are cheerleading advertising.
No. Do you get what the goal of advertising is?
Yes.
What
yes, is it? 100%. What is it, Vince? To make more people see it.
Okay.
Can I?
And to make people buy the product that they're selling.
Well, yeah, I don't know how many CRVs are going to sell from that, but the fact that the CRV commercial has made it onto the Film Drunk Fraudcast.
No.
I was way behind already. Like, everybody was going to cover it, whether I did or not.
No, it's
not.
Before
you say another word, the person who says, well, we're talking about it, so it must be an effective ad, is the stupidest person in the room.
Guilty as charged.
That is Ben.
All right. I wanted to get that out there.
Fair enough, but I'm just saying that you realize it's coming from a much higher place with a bunch of people.
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't find that sooner.
It's a bunch of people with suits on saying, we've got the CRV, we've got a Honda, we've got some product. It's fucking Honda.
I get that. Like, I'm just pissed at people that were just like, fuck yeah, they totally got us.
Wait, can I just communication degree this shit up and evaporate the goodwill I got from being mean to you? So look, here's what's happening. Our generation's timeline is condensed so much that the next new thing is already happening, right? At the time you realize that something isn't cool, you've already been doing it for 5 minutes. And so we're so desperate for nostalgia that we'll accept anything that we vaguely remember. And so it's totally a high five for remembering, because it's just like, shit. Oh, that was a shared moment before I was immediately trying to cut you down for not responding quick enough to something that I thought was funny.
That's my thing. It's like we value nostalgia so much.
We're desperate
like
to grab
so
back
overvalued.
A point before someone could say, oh, old, saw it already,
yeah,
right?
True.
Like, we're reaching for that. And
yeah.
This is the, like, we're that transitional generation. And so it's going to be shitty because fucking we're already scared of our answering machines, right?
what does that mean?
Already our own grandpas because the kids don't give a fuck. They're just like, oh, Ferris Bueller, already onto the next thing. Fucking consume,
yeah.
Right? Like, we're the only ones hemming and hawing about it. Like, that's the self-loathing. It's just like,
but,
oh, I don't know. It's just like,
But for me, it's not so much the hemming and hawing. It seems that there's a whole culture of people that aren't in advertising, that aren't affiliated with Honda at all, that are just cheerleading because...
But the kids that this they think they're aiming at have already fucking forgotten about
I know,
this.
And that I respect that.
Yeah. They're already on to the next thing. They're not having this conversation.
But you know what? You know who is like Chris Hardwick, who's writing a fucking book where he has nerd painted on his knuckles, and it's called The Nerdist Way. And it's like, oh, you know what's cool is when I just cheerlead commercialism and just fucking talk about gadgets. And isn't it great? Isn't that so much better than the old like jock culture?
No,
they're the
people that brought this forward, and they've been immediately left behind by it. They're like, hey, I was talking to this guy, and he's just like, I just hate that all the shit that got me beat up in high school is in mainstream now. It's like, you won, fucker. You won, and you're too fucking broken to enjoy it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That's,
like, you.
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is your this is your golden period. You can watch comic books on the fucking IMAX, and no one's going to yell at you.
It's your world, and you still have an inferiority complex for some reason.
But that's because they shifted shit, right? And the mainstream took it away from them, and they're still fucking locked away in their little shame closets, and that's our generation, right? This is like the new kids, they don't give a fuck, man. They're just like, yeah, everyone uses the internet, everyone knows how to program. Fuck you, I'm already bored.
Yes.
All right.
And I cannot wait till the rest of the world catches up with that.
Well, I don't know that it will. I'm going to shift and say I want to hear some lighthearted humor from Brendan's Bible.
Yes.
How say you?
Did we lose Matt? Time out, sorry.
Time out.
No, I'm here, guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you jacking off? Did you close off your video feed?
No, I closed out the video feed, but that's just because I never got the same back from Vince.
I don't even know how to. I was trying to figure out how to do it. Where's the button?
Well, you click on the little the video camera.
Oh, why didn't I see that before? I'm retarded. Sorry, I was looking for that earlier when we're.
I think we need to. We need to. Need to get off our high horses.
Oh, I love your wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I have
and your curls. Your curls too. Whatever.
I do have a portrait that looks very much like Matt's dog behind me.
Which one, the left or the right?
Both of them. I have a giant velvet, black velvet painting of Rottweiler puppies.
I like when I'm driving and or walking around San Francisco and I see some sort of Great Dane or one of those, basically a mini horse.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you doing owning that in San Francisco? What, do you put that in its own apartment? Those things are gigantic.
The thing is, the bigger the dog you have, the less exercise it tends to need.
Is that a fact?
Well, I won't say it's a fact. It's a rule of thumb. I've got like a Rottweiler mix who's 65 pounds, and like she just like she's a guard dog. She lays around most of the day.
And big dogs tend to be more lovable. I'm putting it out there,
Matt. I'm going to ask a question: is that your rule of thumb, or is that a rule of thumb exercised by more people than yourself?
It's my rule of thumb, but I'm always right about dogs, so it's correct.
All right, fair enough.
Have you been to the Westminster Kennel Club?
No, but no, neither is he until next week.
Yeah, well, whatever.
We're peering into the future. No, I just like seeing them walk around with a mini horse. It's like, I like dogs so much I want that it's almost as big as me.
But no, I mean, I don't want a Great Dane. I don't want to pick up the turds.
They
of
have
a
gigantic turds.
Dog.
I had a Great Dane in college. And they have enormous poops.
I do.
So I was in heaven.
They have certainly have an evolutionary advantage on us in that they can just poop. First of all, they've gotten the humans to pick up their poop, but bigger than that, there's no wiping involved. Like I need to wipe so many times.
I get the Metamuse.
Sometimes they need to drag their ass on the sidewalk.
Well, that's like once a month.
I walked by this.
It's not always a clean break. Sometimes the dog's got to do a little the sidewalk rub on the dog.
You got to break it off yourself by hand. My friend Chris had to do that with his Boston Terrier.
I want to hear some Brendan's Bible.
Yeah. I just wanted to say that I walked past a guy whose bulldog was pooping on the sidewalk the other day, like in a busy neighborhood. And there was at least three people that walked by and retched because the dog shit smelled so bad. Like, well, he was cleaning it up. He was a responsible dog owner, but everybody was walking by and we all had to like cover our mouths with our sweatshirts. What did that dog eat? Oh.
Bulldogs are the best because they're all crammed together, so they don't process that much, right? They're just like, they eat it and it rots for a second and they power it through.
Should I read my favorite limerick from this book?
Yeah. Brendan, what...
This book is called The History of Farting.
Which
again,
I like because like it's got some weird like depiction of a feast on the front cover, but then on the back cover there's a bunch of people like lying on the ground like they've been knocked out by the fart. Which is pretty amazing. Here's a limerick that includes a Nazi reference that I just kind of couldn't really resist. A nefarious Nazi named Goebbels once loaded his anus with pebbles. The slightest suspicion or hint of sedition found him farting a broadside at rebels. Yeah.
Yeah. I still think it's Goebbels, but we can close out on that.
Goebbels doesn't rhyme with purbles.
I know.
Or rurbles.
I'm with you on Goebbels, Vince.
Yeah. Umlauts.
Jesus Christ.
Umlauts, bro.
Well.
Anything else? Are we done?
I could flip through it and find some shit. I'd rather not.
Let's give us some good chins.
Sounds good to me.
We didn't get to any koi calls, which I find very silly.
You want me to play that?
Yeah, play your favorite one. Just one. It's only about 2 minutes.
All right.
Just to be clear, these are not koi calls from us and our friends. These are koi calls from people calling into the Frotcast. Yeah. Calling into the Frotcast Google Voice.
Yeah, we might have to put a moratorium on koi calls to the Frotcast. But here, last one.
Richard of Koi's R Us. This is Austin Tim Mike. I'm calling you from the year 2018, Albuquerque, New Mexico. You have to stop the koi, Richard. On February 20th of 2012, the year you're living in just a couple of weeks, the koi becomes sentient. 6:30 a.m. they become sentient, and an hour later they fire their koi missiles at the koi capital. You have to stop them, Richard. You're the only one that can stop this. You, dreadlock, fat, stupid, ugly, you have to stop them. If you don't do it, what humans are left will be used for mating stock to make koi babies. You're our only hope, Richard. God save you.
It was very Nick Cage, so I'll allow it.
Yeah. It's just very silly that now they're calling us with calls to Richard.
Yeah, we forgot to bleep out the name of the business at some point, which I probably should have done. But, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Why wouldn't it be named Toys R Us?
I know.
It's like the only name you could go with.
They changed the name since then, so.
I mean, and he's also limited the time you can leave a message.
Yeah,
so
that's the most important thing.
That's the ultimate security. Yeah.
Brendan, next week, you know, maybe you guys can see Chronicle, maybe not.
I'm going to say probably not.
Very little chance.
It was. You should see it. Then we could talk about
it. Here's how you can help us out. You make it go on demand. I'll probably watch it this week.
Or you guys can watch Tim and Eric on demand. We can talk about that.
No, still not going to do it. It's like $9.
$9? That's less than the theater ticket price.
Yeah, the theater's big.
That's true. You can watch it at Trader's House.
Ooh.
He's got it in 3D.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going out of town. I'm going to be in New York. Matt, we should hang out.
We will.
So I'm not going to go to a movie theater while I'm on vacation.
Matt, anything to plug before we go?
Follow me at Matt Ufford. That's all I got.
And watch Justified. Sorry. Say that again.
And watch Justified.
For me, I have a show in Davis this Friday. I think it's in someone's living room. Friday night, it's at a quote-unquote comedy house. I'm told there's going to be free beer, so obviously
it's a comedy house.
Obviously, I'm going to be doing comedy in somebody's living room. So if you're in the Davis area, stop on by. I'll be there. The flyer has a clown getting fisted with a boxing glove. There's a mouse with a boxing glove fisting a clown in the flyer. So it's probably going to be good. And then the 14th of February at Milk Bar in San Francisco with James Adomian.
And follow me in real life.
Yeah.
Just on the street.
He's on the bus. Sometimes he witnesses fights between races.
If you're taking the 30, I'll take that sometimes.
Brendan?
All right. Well, until next week, good night and good chins.